from the Iowa State University Extension Service, Yvonne McCormick. How are you, Yvonne?
I'm just fine, thank you.
Well, you look fine. You look all springy and stuff.
I'm certainly ready for spring.
I am, too.
It's going to be, what, 43 today?
That's it, with some wind chill factor temperature of around 5 to 10 degrees. A wind chill factor temperature. So that just sucks. That's all there is to that. And now I know some of you are wondering, why is he bringing up the way Yvonne looks or the way she's dressed since we can't see it? Actually, you can. Go to www.yourforddodge.com, find KVFD and Divine Intervention. Follow the prompts. We are on Ustream. So if you'd like to see how Marilyn and Yvonne are dressed today, please do that. By Marilyn, I mean Marilyn Peterson-Shipp, who's also in the studio. How are you, Marilyn?
I'm fine, thank you.
You look fine as well. You look springy there. You've got your flowery purple sweater on. You've got it going on, Marilyn.
Well, I'm getting ready for spring.
Are you getting ready for it?
I've had enough winter.
You're Marilyn Peterson-Shipp and Yvonne McCormick are our guests. Marilyn, you are a veteran. You are a veteran of many years of gardening.
Yep, I've been in the Federated Garden Club for 43 years.
43 years, good for you.
And the Area Garden probably for 25, and I became a master gardener in the 80s.
Look out! So you've been a master gardener since the 80s. Now, that's terrific. What's the difference between the Fort Dodge Federated Garden Club and the Area? I mean, when you say Area, where what?
The Air, well, one of them used to be, the Federated Garden Club used to be the Women's Garden Club.
Okay.
The Area Garden Club used to be
the Men's
Garden Club, which met in the evening. But then we both went co-ed.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed the names, and we changed the Women's Garden Club to the Federated Garden Club. And the Men's Garden Club was changed to the Fort Dodge Area Garden Club.
Fort Dodge Area. So does that mean we just have two garden clubs now with members, essentially members of both groups being in both clubs?
One is held in the afternoon. The Federated Garden Club is held at 1 o'clock on the third Tuesday at the Lion's Den. And we usually have programs on designing, flower arranging, gardening, and flowers. And then the Area Garden Club meets on the first Thursday night at the Iowa Extension Office.
Yeah, Webster County ISU Extension Office there in Crossroads Mall.
And they usually talk on gardening, vegetables, and apples.
More edibles.
More edibles because they have the apple orchard.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sell their apples at the farmer's market.
See, you know, the wonderful things that go on in our town that not many people know about sometime that would like to know about it, which is why I got the ISU Extension Service on in the first place. Now, this has turned into a fairly regular thing with Yvonne here because we're heading into the time of year when people are concerned, more concerned. First of all, right now, I suppose, they're concerned about getting their yards cleaned up.
And one thing we want to mention is that both of these clubs are open to the public. So if you're at all interested in joining, have an inkling of gardening, and would like to be in a community service club, contact us at the extension office and we can line you up. And we also should mention, Marilyn is also a master gardener, as she mentioned, but did you know that our local garden master gardener training started here in 1983, and Howard Jensen, a previous guest, was one of those
really Howard
members.
Huh?
And the cool thing is it started in Iowa in 1979, so look at how Marilyn was right on the beginning, the cusp of all our master gardener training.
What do you mean it started in Iowa in 1979?
It originally started in Washington State, the Master Gardener, and then it went to Oregon, and this was like just in the 70s, and then...
The Master Gardener program.
The training, yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And so then each state picked it up, and it became now it's all over the country. So
I thought you were talking about the Garden Club concept.
No. That goes back to...
I was going to say that.
Actually, the Garden Club Federated goes back to the
1800s. Yeah,
and
yeah.
That was established with Iowa State University Department of Horticulture in the beginnings before they broke off. So it's kind of all tied in together to the extent.
Say that again now. Iowa State University had...
In the beginning, the Iowa State University Horticulture Department started the garden clubs as part of their outreach before Extension was on board, and then
sure.
each garden club locally had a connection to the horticulture department, and then they went their separate ways as things progressed through.
Well, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. That really is. That the history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really have a deep and rich agricultural and gardening history here in the state of Iowa. Of course, there were times when, and I mentioned this several times with a variety of guests, there were many, many times in the past, within my lifetime, certainly, people had gardens for food.
Oh, yeah, the Victory Gardens, for example.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I wasn't around in the Second World War, but the Victory Gardens were still a thing when I was a young kid. The leftover vestiges of the Victory Gardens. The idea was that the troops overseas needed the food, so the folks back home could have a little fun, be patriotic, come up with some various...
help out the troops.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Were you around during the Second World War, Marilyn?
Yes, I was.
Do you remember those days that we're talking about?
Yes, we had a Victory Garden when I was a kid.
Did you grow up here in Fort Dodge?
No, I grew up... Well, I graduated in high school in the Barnum area. All right. I grew up when I was little up around Storm Lake.
But you know the area.
We had a Victory Garden, and when we mowed the grass, we put a V in the grass.
Ah, isn't that great?
And we picked green beans for the government and walked ditches for milkweed pods for the government when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Was that for the parachutes?
Yep, for the parachutes and all.
My grandfather up in the Laverne, Livermore area grew hemp. Now I say that and everybody goes, oh, your grandfather grew pot. No, hemp was used for rope.
Right.
He had a contract with the government to grow hemp. And my dad and his brother, their first taste of smoking was a hemp cigarette. And I used to give my dad a lot of grief about smoking pot when he was a kid. Of course, he said, no. It was an entirely different type of hemp,
right,
for one
thing.
Right,
it didn't have the potency.
No, it didn't have the THC factor.
And even in the 70s, before the spraying became so common, that was still found along fence lines in some farms.
Oh, sure. Oh,
well, you can still find it growing
wild. Sure you can.
Wild.
It's a wild weed. It's a weed in the state of Iowa. But I'm interested in how you've seen gardening change over the years, Marilyn.
Oh,
I know, that's a big topic. I know. Start wherever you want to.
Because I can remember, well, I was only 3 years old when Mom has pictures of me in the garden with flowers.
Really?
And I have grown up in the garden ever since.
Good for you.
And I've loved it.
Yes.
But getting back to the Federated Garden Club, we were organized in 1928 and federated in 1929. And in that club, both men and women were in it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I was glad to see that plenty of men over the years have been involved in gardening and have taken a real appreciation. You know, a husband and wife both have gotten involved in gardening, and it's been a nice thing.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Good family activity with children even, too.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Marilyn, going back before we move on, in your Victory Garden, did you have a lot of flowers? You said your mother... At that time when we were concentrating on growing food, did she still find room for flowers?
Oh, yes. Mom always had a few flowers, and Dad always says, you can't eat them. But Mom says, no, but they're soul food.
Okay, and you had how many kids in your family?
There were 9 of us.
9 of us, yeah.
So she did a lot of putting up the...
So, Mom usually canned about 1,000 quarts of vegetables and fruit every year.
My wife's family, God rest her soul, she was from around the Pocahontas-Havelock area. And I'll tell you, gardening was a big deal when you have 12 kids in the family. And kohlrabi was something they fought over up there, you know.
We always had kohlrabi.
And sweet corn, it was time to can sweet corn. It was an all-day job, and the whole family got involved, and they put away can after can of sweet corn for the winter months, you know.
Well, that's cool, because there's always a controversy in families. Is frozen or canned better, whether it's beans or corn? And you'll have different, even within the families, oh, no, canned beans are better. No, frozen beans or peas.
No, we always canned the beans.
I still think canning's the best one. Canning is another lost art because of the frozen foods that we have now. But I still go for the canning anytime.
Well, and speaking of a lost art, I see, and hopefully will come up and be more popular, is people doing their own canning for food safety. And a lot of the people that are worried about chemicals and items in their food are turning back to preparing their own canned food and preserving. So,
you know, that's a good point. That's a very good point, because people are concerned about what's winding up on their food, insecticide, pesticide. chemicals to enhance the color, on and on and on and on. If you really stop and think about it, that is something that we should take a look at, because companies, large food manufacturing companies, will know that they have to make it appealing. The product has to be appealing, and they will put chemicals exactly. in meat and everything.
Just like that song, you don't want spots on your apples, but you'd rather have a parking lot or something, right? Mm-hmm. And also, we want to remind people about the transportation costs and pollution of having to transport those products, like from California here
right,
to Iowa.
Right.
So it just is nicer to buy locally, like at our farmers market, where our area gardeners will have apples. And rhubarb was one of the first crops they'll
have. There you go.
And they also have asparagus.
Marilyn Peterson Shipp and Yvonne McCormick are our guests today. What are you planning this year there, Marilyn?
What am I planning?
Yes.
To plant.
Oh, that's it, huh? Well, okay, show's over.
Well, her garden is so full of flowers. She has a hard time finding an empty spot to put something new in.
Do you live in the city limits now, Marilyn?
I live in the city limits, okay. And I used to have a 60 by 60 vegetable garden.
Which 60 by 60, impressive.
Which now has come down to about a 5 by 5, and the flowers have taken over, and I've just let them.
You prefer the flowers now?
Well,
I would say
you don't
yes.
have as much work with them.
Well, no, you don't.
And you don't have to pick them, and you don't have to prepare them, and all that. You just get to enjoy them.
And this little girl over here, Miss McCormick, she turned me on to edible flowers here not too long ago.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Edible flowers, which I did not realize were in existence. I didn't, you know.
And with Marilyn growing so many flowers, if you call her house and her granddaughters answer the phone, they'll say, no, she's out in the jungle.
She's in the jungle.
My one granddaughter, I was complaining last year because I had snakes and animals in the yard, and Casey said, well, Grandma, you just have a prairie out there.
I'm absolutely sure that is correct. What sort of flowers are easier to take care of?
Oh, I like the daylilies and the phlox and anything that seeds itself back, because then you've got a full prairie.
The perennials. The perennials,
the
right?
The perennials, you know, right. Sure. Okay,
and perhaps we could mention to the listeners, if you have a question on growing flowers for Marilyn, call the 515-955-1400, and you'll be right here with Marilyn and can ask her a question.
Yeah, absolutely. And Yvonne's getting into this, isn't she?
Yeah,
I mean,
she's
got this thing going on all the way, which is all right. Yeah, 955-1400 if anybody has a question of Yvonne McCormick, who's with the ISU Extension Service. She is a horticulturalist. Or Marilyn Peterson Shipp, who is, as she just said, a veteran of many, many years of gardening, specifically flower gardening, which is what we're talking about today. What do we have a call?
We have a call.
Well, let's go to it then. Good morning. You're on the air at AM 1400 KVFD.
Hi, this is Karen from Humboldt, and I have a question for Yvonne and for Marilyn.
And what is your question, Karen?
I love clematis, but when it says type 1, type 2, or type 3, what exactly does that mean?
Well, Marilyn, would you like to take that, or I can help you out here?
Well, that's in there when they need to be pruned, but I think Yvonne's probably a better worker on that than I am, so I'll let her explain it.
No, I would disagree on that. I think I read it in books, and Marilyn's actually done more than I'll ever probably have time to do. But again, there are three different kinds of blooming types of clematis, and I happen to have with me, and if you're looking in the camera, we have publication here on clematis from Iowa State University Extension, which is also online, and it's publication RG307 on clematis. And opening it up, you'll see it says that the group one blooms on the previous season's growth, or the older wood. Type two are flowers that bloom on both the old and new. And type three means they grow on new growth. So that would be our common Jack Manny's, the purple ones that we have. And most of our garden ones are the type three. And that, because they grew on new wood, we can prune them down. And now, even last week would have been an excellent time to remove that old growth. You would normally prune those about, 8 inches down, Marilyn? What would you say?
Yeah, I would say 8 inches.
You want to, and you don't want to go shorter because
Well, you're going to cut off the buds. Growth buds.
Right. And so, and of course, again, if you have the type 1, and you cut them down, you're going to cut off your flowers. So make sure when you're buying clematis, you know what kind you have.
So that's why I said it was in the pruning stages, because it is the different
exactly.
stages of pruning.
So we hope that answered your question.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much. AM 1400 KBFT, the voice of Fort Dodge. Yeah, if you have a question, as we head into the spring season and fun gardening things is what we're talking about. That's what we've been talking about several Tuesdays in a row here, and we will have Yvonne and other people from the Horticultural Department on, or who are interested. We will have other people from the Gardening Club on, I'm assuming, for the next couple of weeks. By all means, 955-1400, 955-1400. Today we have Master Gardener, Marilyn Peterson Shipp, and we are focusing on flowers. And that's flowers, of course. Nothing brightens up the exterior of a home like flowers. You can do anything you want to out there, but if you don't have flowers, you're really missing something. It's 10:26, 26 minutes after 10. Yes, Yvonne, you look like...
I wanted to say this is a time to be thinking about what flowers you want to plant to bring to our Webster County Fair or your local county fair, because if we don't have things to look at our county fairs, they'll die. So we want everyone to help save our county fair by planting something and bring it to exhibit at your local fair, whether it's Humboldt, Wright County, Hamilton County, or Webster, and all surrounding areas. We love our county fairs, and they're so educational. We all grew up with them, and it would be a shame if our kids and grandkids had no fairs to attend. So let's try to help keep them alive by growing things to exhibit.
Can I also put in a plug for Federated Garden Club? They have their
absolutely
their flower show on the 23rd and 24th of August.
Where will that be, Marilyn?
That's going to be at the Crossroads Mall.
And you've had it there about every year.
We've had it there for a long time.
Exactly. So, and it's how many days? 2 days? So you set up?
We set up on Friday night with the tables and everything, and then the show starts Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And if you're bringing something to exhibit, please have it there before 9.
So anyone in the public can bring it. You don't have to be a garden club member?
No, you do not have to be a garden club member.
Okay.
And yeah, another point I would like to put across is our garden tour that's coming up on the 5th of July. We still need a few gardens. So if anyone out there in town has a garden they would love to show off, please contact Jeff at Becker's Florist, and he will get hold of me and tell me where this garden is we can put it on our tour.
Well, tell us a little bit more about this tour, Marilyn. What does it involve?
Well, we sell tickets for $10, which supports our club, and we also give a scholarship to Iowa Central College to some youth who is majoring in horticulture.
Okay. So the funds go to a good cause. Yay, horticulture at Iowa State.
So that is one of our fundraisers.
Yay, horticulture.
For the club. And we go to like 10 different gardens. We start at 8 o'clock in the morning and end at 2. And we sell tickets at Becker's beforehand and the first garden on the tour that Saturday morning.
Well, that
sounds
like a real educational way to showcase maybe someone that has newer landscape they would like to educate the public on, or just have the fun of having people welcome them to your garden, and well help to raise funds for scholarships.
People who have these beautiful gardens are so proud to show them off, and everybody loves to come see them.
Oh, no doubt.
So, but right now we're looking for a few more gardens to show this year. Because we've done this this will be our 14th annual tour. So it's getting harder and harder to find gardens that haven't been on the tour before.
Well, and if you haven't gone to one of these tours, I would suggest go on a tour because you learn so much. And you'll run into your friends there, too.
That's right. We usually have over 200 people come through.
Marilyn Shipp, Marilyn Peterson Shipp, and Yvonne McCormick are our guests today. And we'll be back in just a minute as Divine Intervention continues. And we're talking horticulture. And getting ready for spring flowers here on KVFD during this hour, which is always good news as we look at a wind chill factor temperature of about 10 degrees above zero right now. But baseball, Major League Baseball is going on right now. And there's going to be no doubt that the frost is going to come out of the ground all the way, and we're going to have some beautiful flowers and gardens here very shortly. This is AM 1400 KVFD, the voice of Fort Dodge.